and this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine signed a map of new congressional districts on Saturday. It'll be in effect for the next 4 years. That bill, approved by Republican state lawmakers, favors Republicans to win 12 out of Ohio's 15 congressional districts. The process of drawing up new congressional maps after the U.S. Census completes its once-a-decade population count. It's always been contentious. There's a lot at stake, after all. The way the districts are drawn can determine how many representatives Ohio Democrats and Republicans end up sending to the U.S. House of Representatives. But redistricting in 2021 has been an especially wild ride. As the COVID pandemic delayed census results, lawmakers made their way through a new multi-stage process approved by voters back in 2018, and lawsuits challenging the maps Republican lawmakers have approved work their way through courts. Critics of these maps say they're extremely tilted toward Republicans, though the GOP lawmakers responsible for the multiple drafts of the new maps stand behind them. Joining Cincinnati Edition to explain the process behind redistricting and the controversy surrounding the ongoing process, our University of Cincinnati political science professor, Dr. David Niven. David, welcome back to our show.
Thank you, Michael. It's a pleasure to be with you.
We also have with us Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau reporter and producer Andy Chow. Andy, thank you for being with us.
Hi, Michael.
And we want to note that UC is a sponsor of Cincinnati Public Radio. You can join our conversation at 513-419-7100 or email talk at wvxu.org. David, let's start with how Southwest Ohio shaped up in this congressional map. If I'm reading this map correctly, we've always known that Hamilton County has been cut into a couple of districts, the first and the second. But am I correct that now there's part of Hamilton County that will be part of the 8th district as well, meaning the county is split a few different ways?
Right. So we went from a Hamilton County split in two in the previous map to a Hamilton County split in three. And one of the really interesting things about the way this process has unfolded is that under the new rules, they couldn't split the city of Cincinnati. They had to keep it whole. And under the old map, you know, there's a zigzagging line that cuts Cincinnati into pieces and actually splits 14 Cincinnati neighborhoods. So new map can't do that. But that presents the map makers with a challenge because Cincinnati is a Democratic city and is likely to elect a Democratic member of Congress. So what they did was they built a little land bridge between Cincinnati and Warren County. But to do that set them down a path of having to split Hamilton instead of in two pieces into three. And so, you know, this is really one of the more, you know, artful efforts across the entire state. And I think Hamilton County will be at the center of any legal challenge to this map.
Why?
Well, you know, by targeting it for an unnecessary split like that, Hamilton's county's population doesn't require the splitting in three. I think that's part one. Part two is, if you were to be told you have to keep Cincinnati whole, now put it in a congressional district, I think any rational person would say, all right, well, let's put it in a congressional district in Hamilton County. And instead, this map makes the rather unusual choice of putting the city of Cincinnati effectively into Warren County for the purposes of drawing a map.
And David, I guess the suspicion there is that Warren County, it tends to be a Republican voting county. And so that more than offsets the Democratic votes that would come from Cincinnati?
Well, that's right. So what you're able to do by bringing in Warren County is take a Democratic city inside of a Democratic county and tilt it toward the Republicans. And the other thing that's really important here to understand is you take Hamilton County, one of the largest counties in Ohio, and draw these three districts in a way that the political center of these counties in all three cases is outside of Hamilton County. So very likely, you know, you could have the people of Hamilton County, you know, voting against the members of Congress who emerge victorious in these three districts.
Andy, we know that Ohio lost a seat in the previous map. There were 16 districts in the current proposed map, or the new map signed by Governor Mike DeWine. There are just 15 districts. Can you let us know how the other urban areas fared in this map?
So really, when you look at this map, out of the 15 districts that are created, only two heavily favor the Democrats. Those are districts in Franklin County, which is Columbus, and then Cuyahoga County, which is Cleveland. So only those two urban centers see districts that heavily favor Democrats. the rest of the bigger urban areas around the country are seeing the same effect, the same impact that David just talked about in Hamilton County with Cincinnati, where you see portions of Youngstown split with other parts of the Appalachian area. You see portions of Cuyahoga County, Medina, Lorain sort of split over and then heads towards the western part of the state. And then Lucas County with Toledo is grouped up with other counties further to the west of that area, which again, sort of critics of the map say it dilutes that vote. It really sort of proportions that vote out with other rural counties to really swing towards in favor of the Republicans.
Andy, talk a bit more about the process. You mentioned critics of this map. Do critics still have a lane here, or is this done now that the governor has signed it?
The next step here is to see if any voter rights advocacy groups, any community groups, anti-gerrymandering advocates, if they want to take this to court. I've talked to several groups, including the League of Women Voters of Ohio, who have said from the very beginning, ever since this final map was proposed, that a legal challenge is on the table. And some precedent to that is that in the previous maps that were created, the state legislative maps, which draws the districts for the Ohio House and the Ohio Senate, the League of Women Voters and other groups have already taken those maps to court on a similar challenge that we might see when it comes to these congressional maps. So the court system is the next place to take it. You mentioned the process, Michael. This has been something that's been going for a while now. Republican leaders have used the excuse that the census data delayed their process. So this was a process that was supposed to start in the state legislature, but they missed their deadline. So it went to the Ohio Redistricting Commission. That commission missed their deadline. So it came back to the state legislature and they had to pass something by the end of the month. It was the constitutional deadline was by the end of this month.
513-419-7100 is the number to call to join our conversation. David, when you look at this map, share with us just your thoughts, not just of what's happened with it in Southwest Ohio, but across the state.
You know, part of what's at play here is to make the political math work, you have to make some odd geographic decisions. So, for example, Columbus is linked with Clark County, two counties away, which by itself, fine, that's reasonable. You're going to need to build a district with the right population. But then Clark County, Springfield, is excised out of it so that it's in a separate district. And when you see decision after decision like that, you know, if you're going to link Columbus and Clark County, why aren't you linking Columbus and Springfield? Because if you do that, you create a Democratic-leaning district. If you do this without Springfield, you create a Republican-leaning district. And you see things like that. Lorain, Ohio, up on Lake Erie, is in the same district with the tiniest of small towns on the Indiana border. So you're talking about going from, you know, the outskirts of effectively Cleveland all the way to the Indiana border, linking counties that have very little in common, but which dilute those Democratic votes up in Lorain County by pairing them with the Indiana border. And you know, you see these, it's not so much the ridiculous shapes that we had last time, but it's the ridiculous you know, sort of bottom line decisions. Though, to be fair, there are still some ridiculous shapes in this map. And one of my favorites here in Cincinnati, if the folks at the Seven Hills School want to teach about gerrymandering, I would recommend they take the kids out to their soccer field, because if they shoot a goal in the north direction, they'll be shooting it into the second district. And if they shoot a goal into the south goal, they'll be shooting a goal into the first district.
Wow. That's David Niven, a professor of political science at the University of Cincinnati. We're also joined by Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau reporter and producer Andy Chow. Andy, about these shapes that the professor characterized as somewhat ridiculous in some cases, How exactly is pen put to paper? You mentioned that the state legislature missed its deadline related to this map, but the redistricting commission took a stab at it. Who actually draws these? Is it a committee, or is there one individual that might draw them up and then present them, and then there's a discussion? How does it work technically?
It's a great question. So when it comes to this map, this was drawn by a staffer who works with the Ohio Senate Republican Caucus. He's a top policy person in the shop. And then every 10 years, he is called upon to draw these maps. And this is what he did this time around, too. The Ohio House Republicans had their own person who drew the maps. And then the Democrats used a third-party vendor to help draw the maps. One of them being, I believe the group was Haystack out of DC. And so what really happens is that the elected officials sit down with the map makers and they come up with some type of plan. But then really exactly how that happens is still up in the air. It's still something that we're not quite sure. A lot of people, a lot of voter rights advocates who wanted the reforms in 2018 to fight against gerrymandering in this redistricting process, they thought that because of those reforms, everything was going to be more open and that there was going to be more of a bipartisan effort to draw the maps together. And that did not take place. And you mentioned shapes. And last time around, the maps that Ohio's had for the past 10 years, they've had these bigger shapes, you know, Jim Jordan's district might look like a duck. There's the snake on the lake. Really, what we look at on these smaller districts, and David kind of alluded to this earlier, is that there are these teeny tiny carve outs here and there that really raise some questions as to why would you have a little squiggly line shaped around this township, this precinct? What's up with that? And then you have other things like splitting counties. Yes, the bigger counties were bound to be split up somehow. But then you also have splits in, David already mentioned Clark County with Springfield. And then there's a split in Holmes County, and it splits just below Bob Gibbs's district to make sure that the incumbents, Bob Gibbs and Troy Balderson, weren't drawn into the same district. So there's all sorts of lines that opponents of these maps have been criticizing.
And does this pit any incumbents against one another? Should they run for re-election?
Andy? I believe David might be able to correct me, but I believe that, you know what? I'm forgetting right now, but I think
it's okay.
Brad,
if you're not sure.
Brad Wenstrup and Steve Shabbat could have been in the same district, but I think there's a question as to what Congressman Wenstrup's address could be going forward and if he might have two different residences.
And what was Governor DeWine's explanation for his approval of this, Andy?
So that's what I find the most interesting so far, is that this was a bill that was signed into law on a Saturday, which is pretty rare. This is usually when an announcement comes out of a bill being signed. It usually happens during a weekday. But on Saturday morning, Governor Mike DeWine announced that he had signed this Senate bill creating the map into law. And the statement coming from his office said that this was, in his words, the map that most directly complied with the Constitution compared to the other maps that were proposed in the legislature. And then the governor said that it created seven competitive districts, but the governor didn't say what defined competitiveness, and the governor didn't say what those districts were. And so when I reached out to the governor's office to say, hey, what are these districts? What's your definition of competitive? I didn't get anything back. And I asked what analysis they used. And they said they were just going off of the data provided to them by the Ohio House Republicans. So the governor's office saying that they were just going off of what the House Republicans told them when it came to their partisan breakdown of these maps.
I thought the other thing that the governor said that was interesting is he literally lauded the map for not cutting Cincinnati into pieces and other cities into pieces, which is explicitly required in the Constitution. So, he presented this as if this was some grand accomplishment in mapmaking, when this is the bare minimum of mapmaking.
And if you want to weigh in, you can give us a call at 513-419-7100 and share with us your thoughts on these new congressional districts in the state of Ohio, which has one fewer district than it did previously. We will continue this conversation with David Niven and Andy Chow a little bit later on. And up next, coming up a little bit later, Thanksgiving questions answered, from cooking to finding takeout, or maybe even going out to eat. We've got a panel of local experts to take your calls. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We continue now with our conversation about redistricting and the legal challenges that it's prompted in Ohio. We're joined by University of Cincinnati political science professor David Niven and Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau reporter and producer Andy Chow. And we note that UC is a sponsor of Cincinnati Public Radio. And you can join our conversation at 513-419-7100 or email your thoughts to talk@wvxu.org. Andy, should this case go to the Ohio Supreme Court, there's an interesting family connection involving the governor and his son, who is very familiar to voters in Cincinnati, Pat DeWine, who now sits on the Ohio Supreme Court, and Justice DeWine has refused to recuse himself, I guess. Should this lawsuit against the maps come up before him? Is that right?
Yeah, so something that has kind of forecasted a potential court challenge to these congressional maps is that groups are already challenging the state legislative maps. And again, these are the maps that determine the Ohio House and Ohio Senate districts. And in that court challenge that's about to have oral arguments in the Ohio Supreme Court next month, Justice Pat DeWine has said that he is not going to recuse himself from that case, even though the map for the Ohio House and Ohio Senate districts was approved by the Ohio Redistricting Commission, which Governor Mike DeWine does sit on. So Justice Pat DeWine says that because Governor Mike DeWine, see, it even gets confusing talking about the DeWines, that because Governor DeWine is only one of seven people on the panel and only one of five people that voted for the maps, that this does not reach the threshold or his own personal threshold of why he should recuse himself from the situation. While he has recused himself from other cases before the Ohio Supreme Court that has dealt with the governor's office. And so if he didn't do it for the state legislative maps, it's pretty certain or it can be assumed that he's not going to do it for the congressional maps, especially because the congressional maps, while signed into law by Governor Mike DeWine, it was passed by the state legislature. So the question could be, well, if Mike DeWine was only one vote on the Ohio Redistricting Commission, but this was his one singular signature to sign off on the bill. So maybe that's an argument to be made in the future.
David, when we think about Ohio as a whole politically, it has become a red state in a lot of ways. It went for President Trump in 2016 and 2020. But then when you break it down by county, you do see that places like Hamilton County would go for the Democrat. And in 2020, Hamilton County went for Joe Biden by 16 points. And yet both of the Republican Congress members that represent it were easily reelected, including Steve Shabbat, who defeated his Democratic challenger by 7 points. Are those the electoral consequences of this type of map making for congressional districts when you have what could be easily described as a blue county, where nearly every countywide office is held by Democrats, is represented by Republicans?
Well, that's exactly right. And that's really why we're talking about gerrymandering in the first place, that it disrupts the link between voters and their representatives. And, you know, what you just mentioned with respect to Hamilton County, you have a deeply blue county currently represented by two Republicans, one of whom voted not to certify the election results when the electoral votes were counted. And now you're talking about this county as it gets bluer, it being turned into three congressional districts that are potentially all going to send Republicans to Washington. And whether we talk about this at the state level or at the congressional level, we're talking about that disruption between where people's views and values are and where the views and values of their representatives are. And what you wind up with is, you know, a Congress that reflects better what the map makers believe than what the voters actually believe. And of course, you know, we haven't touched on it yet, but the bottom line, why this matters so much. In the last 10 years, not a single congressional seat in Ohio changed hands from one party to another. That is a tribute to the power of gerrymandering. And frankly, that's the danger of the map process that we're witnessing here, that you have elections decided before they even take place by virtue of the skills of the map maker.
And that was what I was going to follow up on is, you know, when you look at this map and you don't see districts that are as competitive as perhaps our Republican democracy is designed to be, what are the challenges for political parties? We should note that this process is dominated by Republicans in Ohio. There are states in this country where it is dominated by Democrats and similar practices are implemented, making it increasingly challenging for Republican candidates. But what is the challenge politically for the party on the wrong side of this to make inroads into these more challenging districts?
Sure. You know, the sad fact is, you know, we think of parties, you know, as being sort of centered around, you know, their beliefs and, you know, they're going to put in the good fight no matter what, no matter where. But the truth of the matter is that at the national level, the parties are ruthless, business-minded, return on investment types. And they put their resources into districts where they believe they can make a difference. And what they do, you know, quite literally, is write off most of the country. They don't invest in their own candidates. They don't put any personnel in. They don't put any of their resources or technical expertise to bear because they don't believe a favorable outcome can be obtained. And we've seen that, you know, across Ohio. It's not just that no seat changed hands in the last 10 years. It's that the typical outcome was a 20 plus point victory. So the parties were uninvolved. And frankly, that invites a level of voter apathy because they don't get the campaigning and they quickly come to realize there's not much at stake in those votes. And so, you know, again, why does gerrymandering matter? It matters because it can decide elections before they happen. Why does it matter? Because it's disrupting the connection between what the average person in Hamilton County thinks and what the average member of Congress from Hamilton County thinks about any number of issues.
And what about the makeup of the U.S. House because of the gerrymandering at the state level? What does that do to you mentioned that, you know, there's a local representative who did not vote to certify the election. And that is obviously an event that left a stain in this country's history that we'll remember for a long time and some of the events that led up to that vote. But if Hamilton County had been left intact previously, it might not have had a Republican representative, for example. I mean, so there are even national consequences to some of these decisions, right?
Well, that's right. And you know, not only do you get different representation, but, you know, I mean, in the case of Steve Chabot, he's evolved over time as this district has gotten safer for him. He's evolved to a much harder line position on issues. He was somebody who voted to recertify the Voting Rights Act, you know, early in his career and has, you know, morphed from that to somebody who would vote to overturn an election. So, but in terms of the national picture, what we're seeing in Ohio and across the states that have finished their maps, which is a little bit more than a dozen states so far, is it's shaping up to be a very strong set of maps for Republicans. And right now, one would expect the Republicans are almost certain to win the House in 2022 because they have a long list of favorable districts to compete in.
Andy, what's next in all of this?
Well, so we're keeping track of what happens in the court challenge process. And then in a couple of weeks, the court challenge to the state legislative maps will have an oral argument. And that could maybe become a precursor of what happens in the congressional maps. But then you have incumbents or people who want to run for Congress that have to make that decision pretty quickly. And so let's say there is a court challenge, which we don't know for sure, but if this is something that's challenged in court, then this map could sort of be in limbo while people are thinking about filing to run for Congress in next year's primary. And so the state legislature is also considering possibly voting to change the filing deadline to give people more of an opportunity to figure out which district that they might run in. And then, like David mentioned, this is something that has national implications as the Republican National Committee is looking to take over in the House in a year coming off of a Democrat winning the presidential race, then the midterms usually swing to the other in favor of the other party. So there's all sorts of things that we're going to be keeping an eye on this.
And David, if you are a prospective candidate, I imagine the shape of some of these districts might influence one's decision to run.
Well, not only one's decision to run, but where to run. I mean, you have some candidates like Max Miller in Northeast Ohio, who had stepped up to run against Anthony Gonzalez, you know, who has to decide, you know, a certain bit of musical chairs here of which of these districts to compete in. So, you know, so Andy is right. This is a very difficult moment for prospective candidates as they look at, you know, where they could potentially run, in some cases weighing multiple options. And, you know, a quirk of law here is legally you only have to live in the state. You don't have to actually live in one of these districts to run in it.
And, you know, it might be hard for some people, but for others seeing this map, it was an easy choice. So somebody like current Congressman Bob Gibbs, he saw that they voted to split Holmes in half to sort of keep him in a district to himself instead of running up against an incumbent. He announced just an hour or two after the vote that he's going to run for re-election because this map was approved.
That is Andy Chow from Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau. We've also been joined by Professor David Niven of the Political Science Department at the University of Cincinnati. David, Andy, thanks to both of you for the generous amount of time you gave us today.
Thanks.
Always a pleasure.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstrow. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.